Okay, so I already thanked the organizers, thank you again. And so my talk is based on a work in collaboration with Daniel Persson. I hope that that the preprint will appear soon on the archive. He's working on that. So the work is not really directly related to moonshine, but somehow moonshine is the reason why we started to look into this topic. So let me give, I will give somehow a moonshine motivated introduction for this. So essentially, Mathieu Moonshine is something about some weak Jacobi forms, the twine in general, or twisted twine in general, more generally. Some weak Jacobi forms that have some special properties, okay? And there are some hints that these weak Jacobi forms are related to nonlinear sigma models on K3. Now, the connection is not complete. We cannot explain all the Mathieu Moonshine through this the physics on nonlinear sigma models on K3, but still, there is some connection. And for example, very often the groups of symmetries of nonlinear sigma models on K3 are essentially subgroups of N24. And in this case, one can compute the twisted twine in general and give them a proper physical interpretation. So at least some of the twisted twine in general has some physical interpretation. Now, some time ago, together with Daniel, and inspired by something that Miranda Tsengen has done some time earlier, we tried to generalize this thing. So from an abstract point of view, the idea was to take these weak Jacobi forms, perform some kinds of equivariant Borchardt lift, and generate some new functions, which we call the second quantized twisted twine in general. And these turn out to be Siegel modular forms under some modular groups of genus 2 or paramodular groups. And the basic example of these, and very well known, is the fact that the Borchardt lift of the elliptic genus of K3 is this famous phi 10 modular form. Now, when the symmetries G and H have some physical interpretation, then also this Borchardt lift have some physical interpretations. And they are related essentially to multiplicities of quarter BPS states in some type 2 computifications on K3 cross T2, or more generally on some orbifolds of these, which are called the CHL models. So I will not explain these relations. I will not talk about BPS states today, but I will talk a lot about these CHL models. Okay? Now, the observations, the formal observations about the properties of these functions here raised some questions, which are interesting also from a physical point of view. Okay. Well, first of all, these second quantized twisted twine in general were calculated in the context of physical models, only in some very specific cases, in particular when the symmetry, the group generated by G and H is a group of a symplectic automorphism of the K3 service. And now it is quite natural to think that these kind of constructions can generalize to the cases where G and H are not symmetric symmetries on nonlinear sigma models, but something non-geometric, okay? This is a very mild extension, very natural. There are some technical complications in the case where the corresponding twisted twine in general have some non-trivial multiplier, because this means that the level matching condition is not properly satisfied when you take the orbifold, but one can cure this problem, and I will show you in one slide more or less how one does it. So this is the first step, but now the most interesting and most important step is the second. So what we found is that the modular properties of this phi GH are actually better than what you would expect by looking at the physics literature, okay? And let me give you the...
Sorry, when you say non-geometric symmetries, do you mean things, symmetries that are symmetries at one point in the moduli space, or do you also have group elements in mind that are symmetries nowhere in the moduli space?
No, I'm talking about physical symmetries. So symmetries that exist somewhere in the modular space.
So you're not trying to generalize it to arbitrary elements of M24?
No. We are specifically focusing on objects where we should have a good physical interpretation.
I mean, is there some difference between these classes of elements? I mean, would the results extend trivially to these other cases, or do you think there will be no
structure? So the properties of these guys extend to all cases. But what I want to, I will not found new properties with respect to what we found in this paper. What I will found is a physical justification of this in the cases where we have a physical interpretation. In the cases where we don't have a physical interpretation, yeah, that's it. The properties still work, but you expect some justification when there is some physical meaning of this, right? So let me show what is the modular transformation, which is strange. So these phi GH are, single modular forms that depend on two and three complex parameters. And it turns out that essentially these single modular forms are invariant if we exchange sigma and tau and rescale them by some integer n, and n is the order of this symmetry G here. So they are essentially invariant in some cases, the second, one has to change the second element here.
So now the diagonal variables of the
symmetry? Yes, they are the diagonal variables. Exactly.
What's H prime?
H prime is a different N24, possibly different N24 element.
Like inverse or?
No.
Square or?
Is it the group generated by G and H?
Oh, no, not necessarily. So there is this is what we call the relabeling in this case. And it's a bit, I will come back to this at the end, because it is a bit clearer at the end how do you find. So essentially, I will tell you. Essentially, you take the orbifold by G of this, then H induces a symmetry on the orbifold theory.
And
it's not necessarily in the same class as the original one.
They all commute.
Yes, they all commute, yes. So that's what so if it is in the same class, then this is exactly the same function, so it's self-dual. Otherwise, you can relate two different functions by this.
It always has the same order as H?
Yes. Okay. So from a physical point of view, what this means, what this suggests, is that there is some kind of a electromagnetic duality in some CHL models. I will give some more details later for people who are not familiar with this language. But anyway, we have some duality which should exchange electric and magnetic charges and rescale them by something like square root of n, possibly up to signs. Okay? Now, you can look in the physics literature and check, look at the duality group for the CHL models, and you will find that there is no duality element acting like that. In general, the duality group is subgroup of a cell to Z acting on these guys. Okay? What this will mean in the end, what this transformation will be in the end is a kind of Fricke involution. Okay. Okay, so if there is no such duality, why this thing should be true, right? Well, the point is that there is such a duality, it's just that it was not has not been studied earlier in the literature, and this is what we want to establish today. So we'll show that this is the consequence of a new kind of S-duality in CHL models, which acts as a Fricke involution on the heterotic axiom dilaton. Okay? And actually, this can be generalized. And in fact, there are all the so-called Atkin-Lehner involutions, which are dualities in CHL models. So this is very interesting, I think, independently of this moonshine story, because I don't know many examples where Atkin-Lehner involutions emerge naturally in a physics context, but this is really very natural in CHL models, and it's also something CHL models are obtained by an orbifold, so essentially the model inherits some part of the duality group of the parent theory. Okay, well, these guys are outside what is inherited by this duality group. So they're really proper dualities of the CHL models, and they are not there at all in the parent theory. Okay? Good, so this is my plan. For today, I will first explain some general properties of CHL models or of a class of CHL models. Then I will discuss these Fricke dualities and some consequences of this Fricke duality, generalizations, in particular the Atkin-Lehner involutions. And then I will try to draw some conclusions. So let's start. So the simplest model I'm considering is simply heterotic strings on T6, which has various dual descriptions as type 2A on K3 cross T2 or type 2B on K3 cross T2. So it is a four-dimensional theory with the N equals 4 supersymmetry. It has a gauge group U1 to the 28 at generic points in the moduli space. And I will always stay on generic points in the moduli space. Now we have a lattice of electric charges, 28-dimensional, and a lattice of magnetic charges. So in heterotic string description, this is simply the Narayan lattice. And both these guys are isomorphic to even self-dual lattice of signature 6,22. So in my notation, gamma n, m is always an even self-dual lattice of signature n, m. Okay? Then we have a certain duality group. This is T-duality in heterotic strings. This is S-duality. So the T-duality acts by rotations simultaneously on the electric and magnetic charges and on the gauge groups. And this S-duality group mixes the electric and magnetic charges. And then we have a moduli space that is more or less of the format Daniel showed earlier before lunch. So in particular, there is a factor which is given just such as the upper half plane mod SL to Z. And this is the action dilaton in heterotic strings, the Keller modulus of T2 in type 2A, and the complex structure modulus of T2 in type 2B. Okay?
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
A stupid minus sign question. So usually the electric and magnetic charges, they transform under this
SL to Z. Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, where's the minus sign there?
In my previous slides.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a minus sign there, but you cannot, there will be a minus. There is a minus sign there. It's just that if you look at the second quantized blah, blah, only the squares appear.
Yeah, but there will be
a minus sign there. It's just something that you cannot predict from just looking at the, well, maybe you can. At the fact, if you look only at the squares, or are the products at the squares, probably, or maybe the QE closed square. Okay. Anyway, there is a minus sign. There is a minus sign there. Yes. It was a sloppy thing, for yeah. Okay. So I want to. So this is the simplest model. I want to take this CHL model. So I want to take orbifolds of this thing. So let me go to the type 2A picture. So the idea is to take an orbifold by a certain group. It's a cyclic group, and the generator is given by a shift delta along one of the cycles of the torus. So it's a shift of 1 over n periods around one of the cycles. And simultaneously, I want to act with a symmetry on the nonlinear signal model on K3, okay? Some symmetry G. And so I'm restricting to a certain class of CHL models, okay? And the conditions that I give is that, okay, G and delta, I want to have finite order and the same order, actually, in the end. I want G to preserve all space-time supersymmetries, so I will go, I will always have n equals 4 four-dimensional models. And also I want G to exist at points where the gauge group is the generic one, because I want to stay away from, yep?
Is it possible to explain, does the following question have an answer? What does generic gauge group mean in terms of four planes and the...
It's the condition that the four plane is not orthogonal to a root. Exactly. It's exactly that condition.
Plus some condition on the extra torus, right? I mean, you could pick up something from the torus
either. You can do, it's the same condition, essentially, because you have a current. Actually, on the torus, you don't care very much if it is orthogonal. I mean, it can be enhanced. The part on the torus can also be enhanced. It's the part on the part of the lattice of the K3 lattice that I will not take enhanced. But it can be general.
You mean the condition can be changed to
So
U1 to the 24 is preserved. Or
yes, yes. You want to the, I want U1 to the 24 exactly, and then it can be non-abelian group. You can also generalize probably, but you have to do some work, and we didn't do so. So it's maybe not strictly necessary. But yeah, this is what we looked at. So okay, this thing has a dual heterotic description, always by a shift along some cycle in the torsion by some kind of rotation. Now, these conditions on G essentially tells you that G can be identified with an element of the T-duality group. This element will fix a gamma 2-2 sublattice, which is the lattice of winding momenta around the T2. And will fix a positive definite subspace of dimension 6. And you can also think of G as being an element of O gamma 4,20 that fixes a positive definite sublattice of dimension 4. Okay, and these are essentially the kind of elements that has been classified in our paper with Matthias and Stefano.
So delta is service to satisfy level matching?
Yes, I will come to level matching now. Okay. So there might be issues. So I'm taking symmetries which may not be geometric, so there might be issues with level matching. So let me go to the heterotic picture for just this slide. So suppose I take an orbifold only by G without the shift, okay? So there can be a failure in the level matching condition, which means that in the G-twisted sector, the spin, so the difference of the left and the right conformal weight is not in 1 over n z, but it's somehow shifted by some rational number. And this you can compute easily in the heterotic string picture. That's why I'm looking at heterotic strings here. And you find that this mismatch is somehow labeled by two numbers, this lambda, which divides n and 24, and some number Carl E, which is coprime with respect to lambda. Okay? Now, if you want to have a consistent orbifold, okay, the standard thing to do then is to take a shift delta, which is not a left-right symmetric shift, but it's asymmetric. So in particular, delta square is different from zero, in such a way that the mismatch here will compensate the mismatch here. There is actually another way, which is what we use, and it is at the end of the day equivalent, which is to take a shift which has higher order. Okay, it's not so obvious that this is the same thing, but essentially the idea is that if you orbifold by G and this delta, at the end of the day you will land on the same kind of model, but at a different point in the moduli space. And you can take this to be another. Okay, so these two choices are equivalent, but usually this leads to slightly easier computations. Yes. There is an ambiguity in what delta is, because you can add vectors of the lattice. So you can add vectors which are not isotropic, and then, and this is essentially why it works. Okay.
So it's not the equivalent model, it's a model of the same.
So it's not the same, but it is essentially, it's morally the same model with the different radius of one of the circles. So it's essentially exactly the same model, but a different point in the moduli space. Okay, so how do these CHL models look like? Well, by hypothesis, we have that G fixes some subspace of dimension D in this space, so D is at least 8 in the end. And correspondingly, the CHL model will have a gauge group, which is U1 to the D, okay, instead of U1 to the 28. And the moduli space will be reduced, but how big it is depends on the particular G. But there are always at least three complex moduli. One is the heterotic action dilaton, then the Keller modulus, and the complex structure modulus of T2. Okay? Good. And also the duality group will be broken to some subgroup. And in particular, the S-duality group will contain the subgroup gamma 1 and lambda, where n lambda depend on G, as we said before. And this is better understood in the type 2b picture, because gamma 1 and lambda here acts on the complex structure of T2, and this is the subgroup that preserves the shift delta, essentially. Okay? So these are the obvious dualities, which are inherited from the parent theory. But the idea of this talk is that there are many more of these guys. Well, not many more, but some more. And so in order to understand, so duality is essentially an equivalence to between two apparently different models. So it is a good idea to understand a bit more carefully when two models are physically the same and when they are different. So I want to do some kind of classification of CHL models. This is a bit too big a word. I mean, I'm looking at a bit of specific class of CHL models, if you want, but still. So in principle, you can label the CHL model by the shift and the symmetry, OK? So the shift will be some vector in real vector here. This is the symmetry G is in O gamma 622, and we have some conditions on that. In particular, delta will be inside the gamma to 2 tensor R, which is fixed by G, and it will be a finite order modulo gamma to 2. It's not very important, but the point is that if we label models by delta and G, we have a large redundancy, because many models are effectively the same. And for example, so I will not give too many details, but essentially, one can choose always delta to be of order n lambda. And one can choose in modulo gamma 2, 2. And n lambda delta, and one can choose it in such a way that n lambda delta is a primitive null vector in gamma 6, 22. And the idea is that if we do different choices, we don't obtain new models, but we reobtain some models with where this condition is satisfied. OK? Now, with this choice for delta, with this condition for delta, we want to classify the groups delta, comma g. And we want to classify up to conjugation the t-duality group, because if two groups are conjugated, then they will give rise, for sure, to the same CHL model. Now, the point is that, essentially, all primitive null vectors are conjugated in gamma 6, 22 mod O gamma 6, 22. So it's not very important which vector delta you choose once this condition is satisfied. So you can choose your favorite primitive null vector, and then you can classify G up to conjugation here that leaves the specific vector that you chose invariant. Okay? Okay, so how do we classify this kind of Gs? Well, first of all, we know that G is really no gamma 4, 20, because it fixes a 2, 2 sublattice. And by our classification of nonlinear signal models on K3, this tells us that we can associate of every such G that fixes a four-dimensional subspace some class in the Conway group conod. So the class is really identified through the eigenvalues of G in the 24-dimensional representation. Okay, it has the same eigenvalues as this conjugacy class. Now, there is a nice way of encoding the eigenvalue of G in this 24-dimensional representation, which is to use the frame shape. So if G is a permutation, the frame shape is just the cycle shape. So this MA are just the number of times each cycle appears. But one can generalize this thing even to symmetries which are not permutations, essentially because, OK, the action of Conway on the 24-dimensional representation is rational. And so one can always associate to G a frame shape where this MA are some integers, but not necessarily positive integers. OK, some negative integers can appear. Now, the point here, why I'm telling you this, is that the frame shape, well, one can check that the frame shape essentially determines the conod class. OK, this is not too difficult, look at it in the literature. But also, the point is that it also determines the class of the group delta G up to conjugation in O gamma 6, 22. So you can label the CHL model by the frame shape of G. That's the message. OK?
So then that was only true for certain conjugates. So you have to restrict.
Not exactly one.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I'm restricting to the one that fixed the there are 40.
Not conjugate.
Yeah, the one that I'm, yeah. Okay, the ones that I'm, yeah, the ones that are relevant.
Show up, it is.
It's one to one.
See, the
no, I think not. No, I think even, yeah, there is a lot.
Yeah, yeah, but
if you restrict elements,
it's a whole line. Yeah, for sure on the conjugate classes. I thought it was in general, but yeah, I wouldn't. I checked the ones that are relevant for this problem, and I'm sure the other ones I'm not sure. And yeah, you might be right. Yes. But the crucial point is that this is one to one, which is not trivial at all. And yeah, you might think. So I have to stress that I'm classifying these guys up to O gamma 6 comma 22. Okay. And still, I fix delta, so I have at least a O gamma 5,21, let's say, acting on G. And this helps. Because if I classify mod O gamma 4,20, this is not true anymore. Okay? And in fact, one can show that the conjugacy classes of G mod O gamma 4,20, there are many different conjugacy classes here that correspond to the same conod class. Okay? This is interesting. Also from, okay, string theory point of view, because this means that if you have type 2B compactification on K3, you have some symmetry of the nonlinear sigma model, to the same conjugacy Conway class, you will have different classes of symmetries on the nonlinear sigma model, but all symmetries are equivalent, in a sense, under non-perturbative dualities, which is the O gamma 5,21. It's a bit tricky because non-perturbative duality brings you from a nonlinear sigma model for the fundamental string to a nonlinear sigma model for something else in general. So this is really an equivalent between sigma models which have different meanings. But yeah, that's kind of. Anyway, the bottom line is that for what concerns CHL models, then there is a really each frame shape corresponds to a different. Each CHL model is labeled by this frame shape. Okay, good. So let's see how this enlarges our dualities immediately. So we consider a CHL model. We know that the S duality contains this gamma 1 and lambda. Now, this can be extended among commas to gamma 0 and lambda. And the idea is that the action of any element of gamma 0 and lambda will bring us the group delta G to a group which is essentially delta G to the A, where A is this element here. But G to A is a coprime with respect to N. So G to the A and G has the same frame shape. So there will be some H in the duality group that conjugates this guy to G. So the point is that if we take simultaneously this gamma and this H, we just go back to the same CHL model, okay? Now we have to be careful because this gamma and lambda and this kind of symmetry are slightly different. So this guy acts only on the heterotic axion dilaton and leaves all the other moduli fixed. But these guys, we need to act both on the SL to Z part, so the heterotic axion dilaton, but also by H on the other moduli, okay? But on the other hand, if you have physical quantities that only depend on the axion dilaton, then the invariant group is really gamma zero and lambda. So that's the message. Anyway, this is a first step, but still, gamma zero and lambda is still inside the SL to Z of the parent theory. So we want to go outside this SL to Z. And here we enter with the meat. So Fricke dualities, how do we see them? Well, the idea is to consider them as T dualities in the type 2A picture. So we take type 2A in a simple point in the moduli space. We take on K3 cross the product of two orthogonal circles with no B fields, no Wilson lines, just to simplify things. And we also take the G that satisfies the level matching condition, because the other case is a bit more complicated. But it can be done also in more general. Now, if you look at the winding and momenta along the circle S, where we take the shift, they are quantized in this way. So since we are introducing twisted sectors carry fractional winding along the circle S, okay? Now, if you only did the circle only did the shift, this would be that we should have to, we should project on the invariant part. But we are also acting by G on the nonlinear signal model on K3 simultaneously, okay? So what's the effect of taking the simultaneous shift and this rotation by G? Well, the effect is that the states of the theory are of the form of some winding, some state carrying winding momentum along the S, tensor, some state in the internal CFT, K3. And the condition is that what kind, where the states leaves depends on W and M, essentially. So W labels the twisted sector, okay? Which means that chi Wm must be in the G to the W twisted sector in the nonlinear signal model. And then we have to project on the invariant states, okay? And the projection on the invariant states tells us that the G eigenvalue of this guy must be equal to e to the 2 pi I m over n, where m is the momentum, okay? So taking the orbifold essentially entangles, in some sense, the winding and momentum with the sector that we are looking at in the K3, okay? Okay, very good. So now we take, as a warm up, we take the limit where the radii of the two circles are big. Okay, so we decompactify to six dimensions. Now, if we want to have finite momenta in the around the, one of the circles, we have to take a zero winding. Okay, furthermore, M over R, the momentum reaches a continuum in the limit where R becomes infinite. So given this property of the spectrum, this means that in this limit, we are only taking states which are in the untwisted sector of the nonlinear signal model, so W equals zero. And we cannot really distinguish the momentum of the different G eigenvalues because the difference in momentum is infinitesimal in this limit, okay? So you see that in this limit, what we obtain is essentially the original theory. For the original nonlinear signal model on K3 as internal state. Now, if we go around the circle S by 1 over n period, so we make a shift. So if you have an eigenstate of a momentum m, we pick up a phase like that, e to the 2 pi m over n. And this is exactly the same effect as acting on the internal state by G. And this tells us that the theory is effectively an orbifold of the nonlinear of the original theory, but by this shift and the rotation g. Okay. Now this argument is essentially the adiabatic argument by Waffe-Witten in 95, and it can be used to show that there is in fact a duality between the type 2a and the heterotic picture, essentially using the duality of the original string-string duality before orbifolding. Okay. Now we take the different limit, and this is where nice things happen. We take the limit where these guys are very small. Now, the natural thing to do in this case is to take the duality in both directions, right? The problem is that the duality is not obviously a symmetry, a duality of the theory, because we are taking an orbifold by some shift on one of the circles with some other decoration. So what one can check is that if we want to obtain the same spectrum here, what we have to do is something like the duality, but with the factor n here appearing, okay? Some a bit weird the duality and just exchange these two guys. Now, if we forget about the nonlinear signal model, this is what it is, and this will be a symmetry of the theory. But there is a nonlinear signal model there. And what happens is the following. So now states have this form, okay? And now you see that the momentum now along the T-dual circle labels the twisted sector, okay? And the winding labels the G eigenvalue of the K3 signal model. So you can already guess what happens when I take R and R prime to be very big. In order to have finite momenta, I need to take W prime, the winding, to be zero again, but this means, and this M prime over R prime reaches a continuum, but this means that W prime equals zero now means that I'm looking only at G invariant states. And this condition means that I don't really distinguish the different twisted sectors. So this means that in this larger radius limit, what I obtain is a compactification of type 2a on the orbifold of my nonlinear sigma model on K3. So I have a very nice connection where T-duality in space-time connects a certain conformal field theory to its orbifold. Okay. And then I can see what happens when a local observer goes 1 over m period along this T-dual circle. So the shift gives us a phase if I'm looking at the eigenstate of momentum. Now this phase acts on the g to the m prime twisted sector. Okay, so e to the 2 pi I m prime over n on the g to the m prime twisted sector. And this is exactly what we would call the quantum symmetry acting on the orbifold theory.
But in this case, it's the orbifold theory as motor to your movement.
Sorry?
When the T-duality induces a change from the working, from the sigma model to
the orbifold. Yes.
But the orbifold theory, is that also as a motor to your
movement? There are some cases where it is isomorphic and some cases where it's not.
It's not always.
No.
No,
I will do the different cases in a moment. So what we conclude is that T-duality brings us type 2a on a certain nonlinear sigma on a certain CHL model to type 2a to compactify on this C prime cross a torus over some symmetry. And this C prime is the orbifold of a nonlinear sigma model on K3 by G. And Q here is the quantum symmetry, okay? So just one thing, if we take something where the general case with the level matching condition is not satisfied, what happens is that it's something similar, but C prime is the orbifold by G to the lambda, which is consistent. And this Q is not simply the quantum symmetry, but there's some kind of symmetry induced by G on the orbifold theory. And this has to do, this one can see easily with the, in the picture where I take the shift of order n lambdas. Okay, very good. So more generally, so with summarizing, we have a duality between these two theories, and this duality acts on the type 2a, well, it leaves the type 2a action dilating invariant, it acts on the Kähler and the complex structure modulus of the of T2, and the action is the one of a Fricke involution, essentially. Okay? And the thing also acts by, in some way, on the other moduli. Now, the point is that what is this thing now? So there are three possible cases. One case is that the theory is a nonlinear sigma model on K3, and Q has the same frame shape as G. So this will be the same model. Or this is the nonlinear sigma model on K3, but Q has a different frame shape. Or the other possibility is that the orbifold is a nonlinear sigma model on T4. Okay, so these are the three possibilities. Can we distinguish them? And the answer is yes. We can distinguish them just looking at the frame shape of G. Okay, and the reason is that using some orbifold machinery, we can see that the Witten index of the orbifold theory is simply given in terms of the frame shape of G by this formula. Okay. And by comparison, the Witten index of the original theory was given by a sum over MA and A, and it's always 24. Okay, and here essentially we replace MA by MN over A. And the same for Q, the frame shape of Q is the same as this, but by replacing M of A by M of N over A. Okay, so we have the three cases now. So the first case happens when G has a balanced frame shape. So when M of A is equal to M of N over A, then the orbifold is K3 and G and Q is the same frame shape, which means that the CHL model is self-dual, okay? Now we can, so this is true in type 2A, we can map these to heterotic and this gives a non-perturbative S-duality on the heterotic string axing by a Fricke involution on the axiom.
Maybe the M24.
Yes, all the M24 elements are in this case. All cases where lambda is greater than 1 are in this case. Okay? Also the umbral elements are in this case, and some other things, unfortunately. Okay, the second case happens when the sum. This sum is still 24, but MA is not equal to M of N over A. In this case, we have two different CHL models, which are we thought were different, but they are secretly related by some t-duality. Okay, and we can do string-string duality, in this case an S-duality relating to different heterotic models. The third case is the most tricky, where the orbifold is a T4. And this happens when the sum over M and over A is equal to 0. And so what happens is that we have a nonlinear single model on, we have a compactification of grade 3 cost 2 orbifold. By T duality, we got to a compactification of type 2A on T4 cross T2 instead of K3 orbifolded. Now, normally, type 2A on a 6 torus is as 8 spacetime supersymmetries, but the orbifold break half of them, because still n equals 4 as the original theory. Now, the point now is, what is this guy here, right? We want some theory that describes essentially NS5 brains on type 2A, okay, and that essentially exchanges the S and the T modulus. Okay? So it turns out that there is only one possibility here. And this, again, an orbifold of type 2A on T4 cross T2. Okay? But it is a very different orbifold from this one. Okay? So in this case, we have the 8 spacetime supersymmetries. Come, 4 of them come from the right moving sector, and 4 come from the left moving sector. And the orbifold break half of them in both sectors. Okay? In this case, this new symmetry G breaks all, acts only on the left moving sector, let's say, so breaks all supersymmetry on one side and preserves all supersymmetry on the other side. So it's very similar in a sense to a heterotic model where we have all spacetime supersymmetries coming from one side. So something similar was, well, for one specific case was proposed by San and Waffa in 95, but one can really generalize this to all these cases. So, okay, so just to summarize, we have, okay, this is the summary. We have these nice three cases where we have either self-duality or duality between different CHL models or some weird duality, okay, in this other case. Okay, some consequences very quickly. So, okay, so what happens more carefully? Okay. So in general, we have a group of dualities, which is gamma 0 n and taking lambda equal 1. Gamma 0 n and generated by this Fricke involution, which acts in this way on the heterotic action dilaton and acts in this way on the electromagnetic charges. And we see that the S duality acts exactly as we expected on the electromagnetic charges with the minus sign. OK. Now, in order for this, if you consider a model which is self-dual, so in case one, in order for this to make sense, we need that the lattice of magnetic charges is equal to the lattice of electric charges up to a rescaling by square root of n. On the other hand, it happens that the lattice of magnetic charges is always the dual of the lattice of the electric charges. So this means that for self-dual models, the lattice of electric charges, of the one of the magnetics, if you want, is equal to its dual lattice up to a rescaling by square root of n. And this is a very constraining property. And this kind of lattices are called n-modular lattices. So the prediction of S-duality is that self-dual models must have n-modular lattice of electric charges. How does it work, more precisely? So this is the typical lattice of electric charges. So we have winding momentum around S-twiddle, which are spectator circle. This is the quadratic form, typical quadratic form here. This is around S where we take the shift. The quadratic form has this 1 over n because of the fractional windings. And then we have the other part, okay, the K3 part, if you want. So the electric thing is just the invariant sublattice of gamma 4 comma tangent and dual, okay? The magnetic of this is just the dual of this guy. So it looks like that. And now self-duality implies that the magnetic guy is equal to the electric with the rescaling of the quadratic form by n, rescaling of vectors by square root of n. So you see immediately how this happens. One has to multiply these guys by n, and one has also to exchange the guys. This is expected because the duality acts also on the U modulus. But then the non-trivial point is this. We must have that these guys rescale by square root of n, or the quadratic form rescaled by n, but must be isomorphic to this other one. And this is very non-trivial. So OK, we have verified this for all frame shapes of case one, and it always works. And actually works only on these cases. OK, so it's non-trivial. So let me show one case. Frame shape 1 to the 8, 2 to the 8, the most studied CHL model. This is the Nicooling involution on the K3 surface, or the symmetry exchanges, the 2E8 in the heterotic picture. So this is, as we said, the K3 lattice looks like that. We have an even unimodular of signature 4,4 plus E8 with the quadratic form scaled by minus 1 half. And this is the dual. Now, S-duality predicts that this guy here must be this guy with the quadratic form rescaled by 2, isomorphic. Now, when I saw this, I thought that was wrong. But it's actually, these two lattices are isomorphic. And you wouldn't guess by looking at this, but it works. So essentially, you check that these two guys have the same, are in the same genus. And then you use a theorem by Nicooling that tells us that with the same genus, with this genus and this signature, there is only one isomorphism class. So they must, but I have no idea of an explicit isomorphism between these two guys. So this is very non-trivial, I think. So just two words about generalizations. This was the most non-trivial case. The other guys, you see that they are self-dual, they are n-modular a bit, just looking at them. But this is quite. So you can generalize these two Atkin-Lehner involutions acting the action dilaton. OK, I think many people here know what they are. But essentially, they are elements of the normalizer of gamma 0 n in SL 2 r. And the Frick involution is one particular case of this guy's one. So this Atkin-Lehner are labeled by some e, which is a exact divisor of n. And when e is equal to n itself, then this is essentially the Frick involution. No. I wanted to. So the points of gamma 0 n together with Atkin-Lehner involutions generate the normalizer. But I'm in a slide and I'm in hurry. Sorry. No, you're right. It's sloppy. Okay, so we have this kind of maps. Okay. So what happens in the type 2A? So this is a T duality in type 2A. Okay. So the Atkin-Lehner involution acts on this and brings us to a new model. A new model C prime here is the orbifolder nonlinearity model on K3 by G to the power of n over e. And this G prime that you take the orbifolder is just the product of G times Q. And if you replace e by n, you will see that we will recover what we said earlier. OK? And what happens? Which elements are self-dual, which not? So all models with balanced frame shape, which are the self-dual under Frick involution, are self-dual under all Atkin-Lehner involutions. On the other hand, the models which are not invariant under Frick involution, they can always be related to one of these weird type 2A on T4 cross T2 by some Atkin-Lehner involution. So there are really two classes of models, the ones with balanced frame shape, which are self-dual under any duality, and the ones which are related to this guy. Okay, and these are some examples of Atkin-Lehner involutions acting on some models. Another generalization is to make the same construction by taking T-duality on the heterotic side. The construction is exactly the same. So it will be an S-duality on the type 2A side. It's a bit less interesting, so all models are self-dual under this thing. Summary, we found that there are some new dualities in CHL models, which are Fricke and also Atkin-Lehner dualities. And the CHL model is self-dual only if and only if it is associated to a balanced frame shape, while the models with non-balanced frame shape are always associated to this type orbifold type 2a on T6 by some Atkin-Lennard duality. Self-duality leads to n-modularity of electromagnetic charges, and in general, if model is not self-dual, you can relate the lattices of two different models, and we checked not all of them. There are also relations related to Atkin-Lennard duality, so there are a lot, but some of them I checked and they worked. We also, so electromagnetic charges is nice that everything works with the lattice, but one would like also to see, for example, multiplicities of half PPS states if they're correctly matched. We didn't do completely explicitly the thing, but we computed some couplings in the string theory, which are half BPS saturated, and verified that they are invariant under the duality, so this should be enough. So what remains to do? Well, the basic problem we started from. So this should explain some of the modular properties of this phi GH squared BPS states. It's not totally trivial because you do some choice of which charges, what kind of charges you're looking when you define this kind of thing. So one has to be a bit careful on what's going on. So this is something that to be done. We can generalize the CHL models, okay? Instead of taking Gs, which are in all gamma 4, comma 20, one can take more general Gs in CHL models, but they are not classified. So it was more difficult to work with these things, but in principle, one can enlarge the thing. One can consider non-cyclic groups. And I think the nice thing is that there is this physical interpretations of Atkin-Lennard involutions in these cases. So one might ask, can one do something related with other occurrences of this Atkin-Lennard involution, for example, monster moonshine? And we think yes, and we are actually working on this. It could give a good physical understanding of why the Atkin-Lennard involutions appear as a symmetry groups of the McKay-Thompson series. It's a bit more tricky to say that it will give a physical interpretation of the genus zero property. I don't know what to say about that. That's the hope, but yeah. So yeah, that's it.
This? So I'm wondering if the triple cycle of the twelve twists, the pointed characters. And so I'm curious whether you're seeing with M24, it should be a simple case, whether you see the triple cycle there. Are you seeing the triple cycle? Does it know about frequent evolution?
So all M24 guys are invariant under Fricke evolution here, and all Atkin-Lennard evolutions. They're all in the self-dual case here. So together, and they are not the only ones, unfortunately. It would have been nice if they were the only one.
Case 1, 2, and 3, is it distinguished by some property of the three co-cycle, or?
No. So all all guys with the non-trivial three co-cycle are in the case one. Sorry.
And how about the pairs that have zero that are thrown out? They're the ones that don't satisfy some.
Yes.
Those have a weird frequency thing.
So, okay, so the point is, so I'm not looking at this. So what I'm only looking morally is only phi GE, first thing, at this point. So I don't know what happens when you take phi GH in a sense, because I'm just taking an orbifold and then just looking at the spectrum of the orbifold by G. Oh, and this is why, this is also related to what you asked at the beginning. This relabeling thing is kind of natural in this context because under t-duality, you obtain the orbifold theory. So if you have an additional H commuting with G, it just gets mapped to the reliable guy. So coming back, so essentially I only look at the phi GE morally, but I didn't even write this, look at the consequences of these dualities for these guys. So this is something that we have to work out precisely because it's not so obvious, I think. So I cannot say too much in this moment.
No. So I'd say that if your picture lifts or carries over to monstrous moonshine, then you should see the three cycles should know all about.
Okay, so we were thinking just about McKay-Thompson series for the monster. We didn't look into other guys at the moment, and we are not totally we're kind of confident that it's kind of confident. And for the monster, is somehow related to an observation by Michael Tewitt that the freak elements are the ones that the orbifold by G of the monster gives again the monster, because it's really the same kind of conditions that they're using here. So, and there will be the same kind of conditions there. So, it depends on. So it depends on the level of rigor you want to. I can do it with less rigor. But I can do also for symmetries which are not do not satisfy the level matching condition, because with the CHL model things, I can cure this kind of guy. So I can take all elements that I want. And and then one has to say, okay, the orbifold of this is the monster. Now, if you want, I don't know, if you assume that the monster is the only CFT which has no currents.
Lambda equals 1, though?
Huh?
You're still talking about lambda equals 1?
Yes, I would say yes. Well, I think this, I haven't really worked it out for lambda greater than 1, but I think it's no big problem in doing that. The only point is that, if you assume that the only CFT which has of central charge 24, so 2, that has no currents is the monster, it's not too, I think it's not too difficult. If you don't assume that, then no.
Okay, let's break for 10 minutes. And then
okay.